where they rise in the blue of heaven's dome. Many years I have spent in that place of sweet content. Those mountains call me back to my Montana.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome from beautiful Western Montana. A little windy today. You're listening to Perception Management with Keith Rogers, and today is August 9th, 2020. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. You can join us in the chat room at perceptionmanagement.chatandgo.com. Kenneth is in the control room to play a couple. Oh, no, he won't be. He'll be playing a new song tonight. That's about it, if you got that in the queue, right? But he'll be there to answer your phones. Calls, anyway. Tonight's show title is "The House Always Wins Until You Stop Playing Their Games." And people have got to realize what is going on. But anyway, I'm going to take you tonight back to a redux of the Contra affairs, but this is going to be moved fast forward a couple of decades, not that long ago, much of which I give great respect to all the whistleblowers out there through the government agencies, FBI, NSA, journalists, CIA, whatever. Those who came forward to expose these crimes, as well as those like Gary Webb, who was another victim who just happened to be agile enough to shoot himself in the back of the head. Let's talk about arms tonight. Oh, God, I hurt. You know, the U.S., I'm going to go back here towards the beginning of Libya. The U.S. paves way to arm Libyan rebels. This article is dated more than 9 years ago. Clinton tells the London conference that the UN Security Council Resolution 1973 overrode absolute prohibition of arms to Libya. It's common with this government. Hillary Clinton had paved the way for the United States to arm the Libyan rebels by declaring that the recent UN Security Council resolution, it relaxed arms embargo on the country. Clinton's remarks came as the Libyan transnational council used the London conference in an issue to plea to be armed. And here's the kicker. This Mohammed Shaman, the council's head of media, told a press conference at the Foreign Office, "We have asked everybody to help us in so many ways. We know that one of them is going to be giving our youth some real weapons." Child soldiers? You wouldn't believe the horrific videos I got from Libya. But anyway, most people don't care because they're Muslims. And of course, Libya's new rulers offer weapons to the Syrian rebels. Isn't that convenient? The Syrian rebels held secret talks with Libya's new authorities on Friday, aiming to secure weapons and money for their insurgency against President Bashar al-Assad's regime. The Daily Telegraph has learned these arms would be transferred, of course, through Turkey to Syria. You can Google boxes of Red Cross filled with $100 bills. That's how U.S. aid and those other groups work to overthrow democratically elected governments. However, what this means for most people, though, was the Lugar-Obama bill, which sought to eliminate conventional weapons. And, of course, this was geared towards the Soviet Union, which was a spinoff from another bill. But what it does is actually through Dick Lugar and Barack Obama, who had that bill signed into law under George Bush, which was modeled, as I mentioned, after the Noon Lugar program, which focused on weapons of mass destruction, which were normally, as I say, geared towards the Soviet Union. But what it did, though, is once the bill passed, it gave the way for the United States as a means to preemptively attack anyone for the said weapons use. And if you want, you can go to like Business Insider and type in ISIS with tow missiles and stuff. How did ISIS get U.S. tow missiles? And then on top of that, the Army won't suspend contracts with Al-Qaeda-tied companies, citing due process rights. Yep. Well, it's amazing that Al-Qaeda has more rights than U.S. citizens. Remember, even Trump said it could take the guns, you know, worry about due process later, you know. The U.S. Army is refusing to suspend contracts with dozens of companies and individuals tied to Al-Qaeda and other extremist groups out of concern for their due process rights, despite repeated pleas from the chief watchdog for Afghanistan reconstruction. That's on Fox News. What do you get out of all that? Well, Libya. The civilian war casualties, of course, it was not civilian because they were arming them. This was a coup, as you know. Anyway, the war casualties could reach as high as 100,000. The only good thing about that is Trump, well, that, of course, that other article I just read was out of IB Times. Trump steps back from involving himself in Libya's bloody civil war. That was posted yesterday, by the way. And the estimated totals and numbers of death in the civilian war, get it? Always blame the other people. By the opposition activist groups vary between 384,000 and 586,100. That's as of March 2020. And even France 24 has a story on that where they basically say for their tolls it was about 380,000. Death. Merchants of death. ISIS Toyota vehicle sent by the U.S. State Department. The U.S. Treasury was asking Toyota why so many of their pickup trucks and SUVs were being driven around by ISIS as seen in their propaganda videos. It appeared, however, that the U.S. Treasury were asking the wrong party. Instead of Toyota, the U.S. Treasury inquiry should have started closer to home, like, say, the U.S. State Department. There are all these in power today who are even actually out of office, but still in power, known as the deep state, who continue to send arms all over the planet to cause of what we know color revolutions, which are in fact all these special ops of the CIA and those, and they're used to overthrow countries and their leaders. Those ops have a twofold purpose, the second of which is to cause, like here, Americans to hate a targeted people. You can sit there all day long and talk about them evil Muslims or them worthless Hispanics down there in Latin America or whatever like that, or South Central America or whatever. But in the first case, we could say this is also, like I say, the Arab Muslims and, of course, radical Islam and so on. Enabling someone makes you the one that's radical because you're the one pushing the goal or the buttons. And the important issue is for those that would be powerless if not given those arms from not only the United States, but also those from, you know, like UK, Germany, and France, many times Canada too, all known as coalition partners, members of NATO and whatever, who then they send in the clowns of a military who are in turn themselves killed by the very same arms their own government supplied to those poor helpless people, those youths. Use that Joe Pesci emphasis there, youth. Who the CIA uses to overthrow these countries' governments to install a Western-friendly one. Or one that will let the U.S. corporations rape and pillage that country to the bones. And anything else they can steal. When you feel indignant watching some people in a foreign land burning U.S. flags or chanting death to America, seriously, my fellow Americans, you should realize who the victim is and realize why they do that. The amount of death caused in your name should be upsetting. But if you don't like it, you can send your small $19 a month or just a mere 69 cents a day to help some poor struggling people. Because we all know that everyone needs someone to help them out. Now, put in my time. Now that I got that out of there, you should realize that this is just as all that money going overseas into other countries, while these U.S. corporations here are doing what in your face with all their bailouts, firing Americans, destroying the unions and labors and wage reforms. Now, I've highlighted that here on this show before here about how the CIA has been behind so much of that, as well as the FBI, with the outright murder of labor union leaders and all that stuff. But now let's take another trip. We're going to go a little bit further somewhere else now.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
Where would the U.S. and NATO be if they, like the CIA, couldn't facilitate the drug trade too? So now you got your arms running, and you have your modern-day Contras of the drugs running. Dated August 5th, 2011, U.S. federal agents allegedly cut a deal with the Sinaloa drug cartel that allowed it to traffic tons of narcotics across the U.S. border in exchange for information about rival cartels. You have to sit back and think of the lives of Americans destroyed by this. And, of course, all we hear about is, oh, there's fentanyl from China and stuff like that. Forget about your big makers like Johnson & Johnson, Sackler, and Trudeau families who made off with countless, God knows how many billions in creating the opiate crisis in this country, who paid doctors upwards of $40,000 to write those prescriptions, and who killed, like I say, 400,000 Americans or more. The next news item is of no surprise. May 28, 2018, NATO comes to South America. Colombia becomes the alliance's official partner. Colombian President Juan Miguel Santos announced on May 25th that his country had formally become a global partner of NATO. They aren't part of NATO, but they're just trying to edge their way in there. And, of course, if you really want to know the real story of that, for all you guys that hate immigration and stuff, you should read, there's an article on Mother Earth Travel about the history of Colombia, collapse of the democratic system. Again, this is where, where the article from IB Times would talk about how the U.S. has overthrown upwards of 81 countries at many of those elections were democratically elected, destroyed their governments, and put in these neo-Nazi fascist wing governments to again destroy the country and make sure everything was taken care of for the U.S. corporations. Let me check my timing here. So I got a little bit of clip here for you.
We fight for the principle of self-determination, that the people of South Vietnam should be able to choose their own course, choose it in free election, without violence, without terror, and without fear.
You know, that's the same claim, and I have another clip coming up here later on. But I'll have to, because of timing here, I'll have to jump my frame here just a tad bit, but we're going to go into some history here about more of these guns and stuff being sent down to Mexico to cause this riffraff and stuff so that they can ferment these wars and drugs.
Let's take a couple questions.
Do you expect to go against the people who sell these arms, which is part of the problem? I mean, maybe you can be successful in stopping arms, but if you don't do anything, do something on the source of this illegal business, How can you expect to have a real impact on this issue?
Several things. One is, first of all, you've got to interdict the arms. You've got to stop them from going into Mexico. That's why we're increasing the southbound inspections. That's why we're moving the technology to the border to help with screening going into the border. We're coordinating with Mexico because they can do more by way of southbound screening on their side of the border. But then the Department of Justice moving their agents down there, as David said, and increasing tracing. That will help us identify who is putting those arms into the arms, those guns into the arms of the traffickers moving south. And out of that, there can reasonably be seen more prosecution of actual arms dealers who are intentionally and knowingly putting arms into the hands of the smugglers. So that is part of the reason why the Department of Justice is such an essential part of this initiative on Mexico.
In December, you became aware of a Fast and Furious.
I said after the death of Agent Terry, yes.
Okay. And the details you became aware of basically after our investigation began putting those details out?
I became aware, as I testified here and in other committees, after the death of Agent Terry and knew some of the details and the name Fast and Furious, certainly no later
okay.
than March.
You testified here today that you you haven't talked to Eric Holder about this.
That is correct.
And he testified here that he only knew about it a few weeks before the interview we had in May here before this committee, and that he basically heard about it in the newspaper. So you have two dead agents that worked for you, one north of the border, one south of the border, and particularly in the case of Brian Terry. He was gunned down with two weapons from Fast and Furious. It has been months, and you tell me that you're not you weren't doing it because of an IG investigation. Well, let's go through a few questions here, Madam
Secretary. Well,
Let me finish my question.
That insinuation is not accurate.
Madam Secretary.
That was Janet Reno. And believe me, folks, as fat as she is, if she took a crap, she could lose 50 pounds. She is so full of it. But anyway, I have a break coming up here, but we'll get into more about El Chapo's man cave, because this all kind of comes together here when you start looking about this. I mean, really, what's going on? The U.S. facilitating through certain agencies and the dark deep state the transfer of arms, which Janet Reno said, well, we need to know who got those guns into it. They were doing this. And, of course, thousands of these weapons were being sent down. And Americans don't realize that out of this, thousands of people in Mexico were being killed because of these arms. So, anyway, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're welcome.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand. I'm your man.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I've spent a lifetime making up my mind to be more than the measure of what I thought others could see. Good luck and fast bucks are too far and too few between. Cadillac buyers and old five and dimers like me. She stood beside me, letting me know she would be something to lean on when everything ran out on me. Fence yards ain't whole cards, and like as not, never will be. Reason for rhymers, old five and dimers like me.
Welcome back, everyone, to Perception Management. I have a caller online. I need to make a correction. I said Janet Reno, which was another corrupt. Anyway, it was Janet Napolitano. And she's another one of those that she has a rear end that's so big that even Ted Turner here in Montana would think his spread was small. Ed in Utah, I'll take your call before I get on my next thing here.
Yeah, Keith, pretty interesting stuff here. You brought up Gary Webb. And I was a very big fan of his. He was very brave, and they killed him before he could put that final video out. But he did a lot of damage of the New World Order with his great reports at the San Jose Mercury News before they got to him, Keith. And I think of that, and I think of you made a comment on gun control in America, and I can't help but think of one figure, a very, very bad, bad man in so many ways. And yet he won the trust due to thugs like Sean the neocon at Fox and propping up, and I'm talking about Oliver North.
Yes.
Oliver, I think he had something to do with the death. There's a lot of not solid evidence to convict him. But with the death of Gary Webb, he was a strong critic of Gary Webb, and why wouldn't he be? Gary Webb was exposing his operations.
And, well, he also was exposing George Bush's, because remember, it was Zapata Oil that was receiving those drugs off their offshore oil rigs, and then they wouldn't have to fight customs as they brought those drugs in.
Right, right. And you bring up the Bush crime family. The other thing about gun control, Oliver North again, very recently. Keith, a lot of people have...
Now you're getting in my show, because I had that on my show there, Ed. That's my notes. You're getting in my...
Well, here's a very big point with Oliver North. The fact is, the recent hubbub with CBS News trying to bring down the NRA here, people should know that the biggest operation lately was this so-called Patriot. Bogreitz called him, Ollie North, a patriot for profit, which is exactly what he is.
And what was the NRA doing? Was this scalping with more millions of dollars?
Yeah, well, the NRA, here's the problem, though, with that. The NRA, they're going after them and Wayne LaPierre. But keep in mind, Keith, that Wayne LaPierre, 2 years ago at CPAC, he did a no-no. You see, he brought up six American Jews. He didn't call them Jewish. He called them who they were, Bloomberg, Feinstein, and what have you. He called them out. And so the Israeli lobby had a tizzy fit, not in the American media, but in the Jewish media. So they dispatched their Israel First, or their boy, Oliver North, who got to be director a year and a half ago, Keith, of the NRA. And he's the one that brought all the finger-pointing going on against Wayne LaPierre, against some of the officers. Wayne LaPierre, last year, to his credit, reined in Oliver North, drummed him out of there, finally. But Oliver North was in on this Israeli operation to bring down the biggest gun advocate group known the world over.
Yeah, and Ed, I've got bad news, though, on this entire thing here, because yesterday Donald Trump was outing Elliot Abrams for the Contras in one of his video remarks. But the problem is, he is Donald Trump's involved too, because he extorted funds from the Wharton College to buy the ammo for the Contras. Donald Trump did.
Well, I understand there's a lot there. It's just that, Keith, here's the problem with that. With Donald Trump, if we don't have him, despite whatever corruption he's talking about.
Oh, I know. I understand that. That's why I think these recent press statements of where he says, you may not be seeing me for a while and stuff like that, that there's something up. I'd also say this too. With the recent bombing in Lebanon there, where Donald Trump's first comments was, it was an attack, it was a bomb, and now he's supposed to step back from that, when it's been proven that the same blast percussions and stuff were the same over in a northern blast in Syria, where Israel had done that same thing using another weapon of the same size, except in this last one, they had that ammonium nitrate there, which was the biggest the catalyst, you know.
Yeah. I do think that he's trying to sidestep and bob and weave around Adelson there in Nevada. I'll leave you with this, a question for you. Perhaps you could ponder it. Sisolak, the governor of Nevada. Okay, Keith, look at Adelson could have knocked him aside and said, we're going to stay open, all of us big casinos in Nevada. Not a peep out of Adelson and all the other big Jewish mobsters in the spirit of Meyer Lansky running Nevada. They didn't put up a fight at all with Sisolak. What's the payoff there in your thoughts there, Keith? Adelson, of course, a backer.
So all I can tell you is that this same era that we're talking about, I lived in Las Vegas, and the Italian mob was running Las Vegas. And I never wanted to mention their names and stuff, because my dad was really tight with those guys and stuff, because he ran a couple casinos down there. But when the Jewish mob came in, it was a lot different there with people like Steve Wynn and those guys, you know. And Steve Wynn's a good guy. I mean, I never had any problems with him. And a lot of the Jews I never had problems with either. It's just those radicals like Adelson and those guys that have an agenda, that have like the evangelical Christians and stuff, that they stick by this. And it's the same with America, though, Ed. It's kind of like my country, right or wrong. And no matter what Israel does, Israel gets away with it. The same thing with America. And this is why I do this show, Perception Management, is to let people know what's being done in their names and to stop pointing fingers and feeling like you're a victim, because you, the people, are out there and you're letting it happen. And no one says anything unless maybe it's you want to protest for gay rights or something like that. Or, I mean, people have been so dumbed down, and all this is being done in our names.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is. The one thing, though, Keith, to keep in mind is that the same mobsters I'm mentioning have blackmailed American politicians to the benefit
of that. Well, that's why this whole thing with Epstein and stuff is in the news, and that's why, And it all centered out of Israel, so,
One could ask. Epstein is an Israeli operative, or was, if he's still living, or who knows if he was whisked away. The point is, would this prosecution of Ghislaine Maxwell, the daughter of Robert Maxwell, the Israeli operative and blackmailer himself, media man, would this have happened? Would this prosecution have happened had there been anybody else but Trump in there? In other words, I know Trump. He was born and raised in New York. He was around the Jewish mafia. But, Keith, would this have happened under anybody other than Trump? I don't know. And when you look at General Flynn, who called out Pizzagate, he called out Pizzagate. That's why they railroaded him. I'm glad that Donald Trump commuted his sentence and that of Roger Stone, because I do think that even if they have some dirt on themselves, Mr. Trump, the fact is he was trying to get the dirty scumbags that have really been draining America over the decades, the deep state.
Well, that is, Ed. I'm going to have to let you go here because I'm going to run out of time.
Okay, thanks.
But my other point here, though, is that when you start looking at all these operations through Guatemala, El Salvador, I mean, the list goes on, Honduras, Rwanda, Miramar, all these have been fed by nothing but Israeli arms. And, of course, the U.S., through the CIA and those guys, they facilitate this arms trade deal by sending arms to Israel because Congress won't approve these black ops and stuff down throughout these Central American areas. And so Israel does it, and they're the ones that do that. Of course, with Rwanda, we had the 800,000 dead, Miramar lighting tires on fire on top of kids and stuff. I mean, the amount of genocide, and of course, that's all this is about there, because they don't think nothing of anything about whites or Hispanics or anything else like that, Russians. I mean, look at the war that the Russians have to put up with what those Jews over, you know, and I hate to say Jews, but I should probably just say Bolsheviks, what those Bolsheviks do, because they can't stand Russia because of the revolution there. So anyway, let me get on to this. Can you play that clip, or do you want me to load it in the queue here, David? I can put it in the queue here, I think. Oh, go ahead and hit it. I just queued it up here.
Go for it, Keith.
All right. Thanks, David. Thank you.
Brand new shocking details in the scandal that threatens to bring down top Obama administration officials. Now, it's called Project Gunrunner, also known as Operation Fast and Furious, was a botched international gun selling program that has been linked to the deaths of at least two Americans. Now, earlier this week, acting ATF director Ken Melson, he secretly testified before congressional investigators, revealing incriminating new information about the controversial program. Now, afterwards, the chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, Darrell Issa, well, and also Senator Chuck Grassley, they fired off a very angry letter to the Attorney General Eric Holder, writing of Melson's testimony, quote, "It was not until after the public controversy that he personally reviewed hundreds of documents relating to the case. By his account, he was sick to his stomach when he obtained those documents and learned the full story." Now, if his account is accurate, then ATF leadership appears to have been effectively muzzled while the DOJ sent over false denials and buried its head in the sand. That approach distorted the truth and obstructed our investigation. Now, late yesterday, an assistant attorney general responded to their letter in a written statement arguing, quote, "While we do not question the committee's right to conduct appropriate oversight, we reject entirely any suggestion that our extraordinary efforts have been designed to limit rather than facilitate the committee's access to information." Now, ISA has already publicly suggested that Holder knew of the scandal much earlier than he admitted to in sworn testimony. And joining me now is California Congressman Darrell Issa. Congressman, welcome back, sir.
Well, thanks for having me on, Sean, and thanks for covering it. I think your prelim says it very well. It's almost impossible to believe that everyone, including CBS News and many newspapers and Fox, had already reported on Fast and Furious, and yet Eric Holder still didn't know anything about it.
All right, well, why, for the benefit of our audience, this was an idea, I think, very ill-conceived from the beginning, that they were going to follow the guns from the lower-level people involved in the cartels in the hope that this would bring them to the kingpins, the leaders of these large cartels. Tell us about the operation and why you think it was ill-conceived.
Well, it was ill-conceived because if you're going to follow the guns, you put tracing devices on them, you monitor them, you have teams, including probably Predator aircraft, making sure you know where they are. Here we had over 2,000 weapons, dozens and dozens and dozens of separate sales in which ATF agents either did no following or followed to the first house, or in one case until the car was 40 miles north and heading away from the Mexican border, and then they were ordered to turn around. So what you really have is you have two points. You have the point where it was sold, and you have the point where you have a dead Border Patrol agent, and in between you have no idea where that weapon was. That's not a program that anyone would say makes sense when you understand it the way we now do.
Well, due to time, I'm going to cut that, but what we see here is the trafficking of guns, and you're welcome to Google this or whatever search engine you want to use. How the U.S. military, excuse me, lost $700 million worth of ammo in Afghanistan. And by God, American boys are dying over there because of this ammo being lost. And of course, we know what's going on, or at least I know what's going on. But this is exactly what has been going. You ferment wars to keep the military-industrial complex going. And, of course, with that, you facilitate the drugs, too. So let's get on this El Chapo there. El Chapo, you know, he was caught in his so-called man cave with italics in there. And, of course, one of the guns that the Mexican officials say that was found at the hideout of the drug lord queen, or drug lord, El Chapo, was one of those of Fast and Furious. Actually, there's more of them there. There's even a 50 caliber from this Gunwalker program. And all 19 firearms were said to be recovered from the hideout. And, of course, again, it wasn't so much tracking it, though. Because, as you know, this El Chapo, or Guzman, was born in the Sinaloa area. And this is where the Sinaloa drug cartel comes in, which I mentioned with the DHS cutting the deals with the Sinaloa drug cartel. And, of course, the sad part is he endured all this physical abuse at the hands of his father. Oh. Then he had this drug trade business that he was working through. Started out with marijuana. And, of course, Guzman began working with this Hector Luis Palma Salazar by the late 1970s. This is all still fresh Contra era's build up to this to facilitate. And I played you, was it last week or the week before, about the CIA and their phony bank down in Australia rifling $50 million through this thing. The same thing with the savings and the loan crash back in the 80s, where they, too, were laundering the money through the housing industry. Anyway, the Salazar helped map the routes down through Sinaloa and stuff, which went right into the United States. And, of course, if you want to, you can look up. I don't have time on this portion of the show, but you can look up the DHS Trusted Travelers or Sentry members and see that, yeah, there's a bust every once in a while, and each one of those busts, couple million dollars worth of meth and other type of drugs. And with that, remember, these guys only have a 10-second border wait going through Trusted Travelers speed pass lanes. 10-second border wait. The object here, which I would say, is that there are those in power that are stopping certain drugs from coming to the country because they're rival drug gangs. You can have our guns, all for thee, but none for thee. Anyway, a fascinating story if you want to look it up on Wikipedia there about El Chapo there. And, of course, the original story here comes from CBS News. And when I see all the mask-wearing Karens out there screaming that you're not following mandates, I can think of those who swear by this system where so many people are framed by those in law enforcement in their hoax war on drugs. Remember, George Bush where he they had to send William Barr down there to Panama to end America's drug problem there by snatching up Noriega. Here's some top headlines. CIA manages drug trade, Mexican officials say. Report says the CIA is working with Mexican drug cartels. Trafficker, the U.S. feds aided a Mexican drug cartel. The Mexican drug trafficker says he worked with the feds. Stratfor sources says U.S. troops in Mexico as feds aid cartels. We even see where U.S. troops are shuttling illegals and drugs across the border. These guys are no different than the Oliver Norris of the 1980s. And, of course, Congress probes the DEA drug money laundering scheme. Then we have the banks that have laundered hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in drug cartel money. This is all aiding and abetting, facilitating. No one's in jail. And, of course, where's Eric Holder today? He's still hearing me on the news all the time. And, of course, the feds let Mexican cartel hit men, actually kill inside the United States. And Fast and Furious FBI now linked in the murder of the U.S. border. So the FBI was linked to that. You know, these are all headlines. And with all the border enforcement pogroms, like the Trusted Travelers, Century members, even with our TSA and everything, this is all done to keep the rival drug lords at bay while they run their product. And this goes clear back to Vietnam, Laos, everything. As I mentioned earlier with the fentanyl, which is claimed to be from China. Like I say, well, the three biggest opium producers are Jewish, I guess you can just say it that way. And now, of course, the Mark or the Patsy. Who is the Mark or the Patsy? Well, the U.S. gun shops and gun owners. That's who. You can totally see this. It's okay for those in government to arm those so-called moderate rebels with italics and these drug lords as long as they're used for the paramilitary ops against another country and also their drug lords. I would also hate to see the full-blown version of what they would call a rebel compared to being moderate. With the hundreds of thousands that have already been killed, it could have been millions, right? Now we know we have Blackwater in those. Yet again, by selling arms, you create the violence. And, of course, that gives you the preemptive means to go into a country to, like they say, take out Maduro, a narco kingpin. We're going to get into that here in just a second. Now, as Ed had mentioned there, the New York AG seeks to dissolve the NRA. And, of course, what I would ask is how in the hell did Oliver North ever become president of the NRA with his drug and gun-running background? I guess he passed a background check. And, of course, remember, everyone from the Contras here all got pardons. Then, of course, well, we're back to who's the patsy here? Well, we got those white Christian gun owners like Waco, Ruby Ridge. I mean, this is how they do it, is they set people up. And I get a little clip here. I played this a couple of weeks ago here, but I'll go ahead and play it again here to let you see how they run this here. Because remember, everyone else in the world, especially when you're in war and stuff, they can have guns. You can't.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Think of it, vastly different way. I had a link on here I didn't put on my my dumb thing here, so I got to go back and find it here. Thank God I have access to my website from here. But again, the patsies here are the gun owners and stuff. But of course, remember, in Chicago, gang members implicate U.S. government in dumping crates of guns in Chicago. That there is from the Activist Post, and another one from BBC where it says Chicago killings, it's like crates of guns got dropped off. This is how they do this. And of course, as long as you keep that, it makes more for the policing. And, of course, remember, all this stuff, what they say, is done for our own personal safety and that they have to be able to go out to these areas to thwart crime.
In the background was the growing struggle between two great powers to shape the post-war world. Already an iron curtain had dropped around Poland, Hungary, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria.
It can't happen here. Well, this is what it looks like if it should. Is hustled off to jail. Public utilities are seized by Fifth Columnist editor, who operates under a free press. He goes to jail too.
Fighters will account for some of the enemy, but some will get through to your home.
The use of propaganda to arouse public support for war is not new. Leaders throughout history have turned to propaganda to transform populations understandably wary of the costs of war into war's most ardent supporters, invoking images of nationalism and channeling fear and anger toward perceived enemies and threats. And in the United States since World War II, government attempts to win public support for military actions have followed a similar pattern.
That we are living in an era marked by the growth of socialism, its basic godless philosophy.
Lying. Dirty.
Its goal of world conquest.
Shrewd. Godless.
Its insidious tactics.
Murderous. Determined.
And its cunning strategy.
Is an international criminal conspiracy.
It's the same sort of message that's utilized today, and often identical techniques.
States like these and their terrorist allies constitute an axis of evil, arming to threaten peace of the world. These are barbaric people, servants of evil, the cult of evil.
A monumental struggle of good versus evil. But good will prevail.
Whether it's the Soviet Union or Al Qaeda,
from yellow,
it provides a way to legitimize U.S. plans for war.
On high alert from
you
biggest.
Have the comparisons between the enemy leader and Hitler.
President Bush calls Saddam Hussein a little Hitler again today.
We're dealing with Hitler revisited.
Bin Laden and his terrorist allies have made their intentions as clear as Lenin and Hitler before them.
We don't get information that would help us put the images in perspective.
This mad dog of the Middle East,
I find he's not only a barbarian, but he's flaky.
The drug-related dictator of Panama.
And to support their claim that Noriega was out of control, ghoulish evidence of satanic practices with dead animals that one official called kinky.
Saddam Hussein is a homicidal dictator who is addicted to weapons of mass destruction.
And as Aldous Huxley said long ago, it's more powerful often to leave things out than to tell lies. For instance, quite often the U.S. government directly helped the dictators that were now being told must be overthrown. And it's that selectivity of history that's a very effective form of propaganda.
This selective view of reality, buttressed by these fear-based appeals, represents a larger pre-war pattern. The repeated claim that the United States uses military force only with great reluctance.
We still seek no wider war.
The United States does not start fights.
America does not seek conflict.
I don't like to use military force.
Our nation enters this conflict reluctantly.
And only for the most virtuous of reasons. First and foremost, to spread freedom and democracy.
We want nothing for ourselves, only that the people of South Vietnam be allowed to guide their own country in their own way.
Yeah. Think of that. As I mentioned, over 81 functioning democracies have been overthrown. Again, when you ferment this stuff, it gives the people here in America the ability to sit there and hate other people for all the problems that they're bringing around the world. And then, of course, it activates the so-called defense. It's in our national security interest that we go do this or we go do that. And people are being killed by the very arms the United States sent to those areas. We'll be right back.
Well,
turn or nowhere to go. It makes me feel like sometimes I'm out of control. So I'm gonna get wasted.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Perception Manager here with Keith Rogers. You know, like all those Middle East and those so-called radical Muslims, now we have in Chicago them blacks. We have BLM, Antifa. I hope you see what's going on here. There's powerful works behind the scenes here, just like you could have watched the pickup truck down there in Texas pull off the bars of a gun shop to where that 79-year-old veteran got into a gunfight with the perps on that. And he shot one of them, of which got away, but they dropped him in a ditch a couple blocks away, and he had a couple of those guns from the gun shop there. But you know, I aggregate news, and so when you look at this, this is all domestically used. It's new laws or policing to take the arms of legal gun owners away, while shipping mass amounts of arms all over the planet. And of course, don't bitch, you flag wavers, as it creates American jobs. Hoorah. Plus a concerted effort now of labeling anyone anti-war as un-American. Just like that Saudi pilot down there in Pensacola there, where he said he got tired of the U.S. bombing in Yemen, and he was being trained to do that as a pilot. It's the same thing if you look at the original testimony of bin Laden, whose statements are called anti-American. And they use that anti-American because, as I've played with General Wesley Clark, who says that basically if you don't go along with this policy, you should be separated, put in internment camps and stuff. This is what they want, you know. And I know I think a little bit different than others, but I feel sorry for the kids. I don't think that it's right for anyone to earn a living, that to do so for a job would be making weapons to kill people and illegally take down their governments in these illegal coups. And, of course, this includes running cover for the fake war on drugs, too. And I'm also sure that Jesus wasn't an arms dealer either. Remember when Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear that Jesus healed him. But, you know, like I say, with Black Lives Matter, other groups, why is it okay for them to break into gun shops and you don't see hardly anything? And, of course, we see Donald Trump cracking down on that, and kudos to Donald Trump. A couple weeks ago, I sent out a video to a crew of, like I say, of that Texas pickup truck. And, I mean, this was done. It was caught on camera. And, of course, no other further arrests have been done that. And, of course, then we have the U.S. sanctions on others who sell their arms. So, like in Syria, if you buy in Syria any other weapons and stuff, well, like from Russia, well, they start sanctioning Russia. For fun, you should do a web search using these words only. U.S. sends arms to. That's all. U.S. sends arms to. And look at the amount of countries this country is arming. And then you wonder why they have wars and stuff, and why American boys and girls now are being sent, and trannies, I guess, are being sent overseas to Somalia and stuff and other countries. And they die on the battlefields over there, and generally they're killed by the very arms this government has, I'll just say, leased out. You can leave the rest blank. Then, of course, you can look up those areas of violence, where it's located and what it is related to as far as GDP. What is their general commerce? Gold, oil, what minerals? Like Bolivia. The U.S., as I mentioned last week here, has delayed the elections in Bolivia for the third time. You want to buy stocks? Well, get into Tesla, because they need that lithium down there, right? Down in Bolivia. Anyway, good evening, everyone. Robert Ravolt's up next. Thank Kenneth and even David there, those in the chat room and the listeners out there. Stay tuned and have a good evening.
All my life I've been so lonesome. If happiness came, I missed the call. All my dreams had been so aimless, and now I'm so tired of it all. In life and love,
extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.